Good morning again.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody here this morning. It was a good worship time. Thank you, Dawn, and everybody else, Collier and Sheila. We're going to continue our, series, Tools of the Trade, the things that God gives us so that we can excel in life. The first week we looked at a spiritual reflex. God gifts us with the ability to respond in a situation appropriately. Last week we looked at spiritual endurance, how to kind of continue on when things may be difficult or get hard. This week is no different. We're going to look at something the Lord gives us to aid us in our Christian walk, in our daily lives. Before we do that, I'd like to pray this morning, and then we'll go into our Bible reading. We'll be in 1 Corinthians, so if you guys want to get a head start and jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's where we're going to be, but we're going to open up in prayer this morning, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you do in our lives. God, I thank you for your word. God, it is a privilege to be able to open this book up. God, to read what's on the page, knowing that it's meant for us, for daily living. There's so many books out there, Lord, that we could read that just can fall by the wayside, but this book is breathing. It gives us ability to live our life better. It enriches our life and enriches our relationships. The thing it does, Lord, you've given us a great gift in your book. God, I pray as we look at it this morning, as we look at 1 Corinthians, God, that you'll speak to us. God, we don't need to be another church and another people that just hear your word and let it fall by the wayside. There's plenty of those. This morning, I pray for each person here this morning that they'll hear the words that are in this book, that it will just instruct their lives, that it'll better their situation in no matter what area it needs bettering in. God, we love you. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for the salvation that we can find in your Son. Be with us this morning as we open your word. In your name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 6. We're going to go through 10 verses. 10 verses is all we're looking at this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye hath not seen, and ears has not heard, and which have not entered the hearts of man, all that God has prepared for him, for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For whom among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have received the mind of Christ. We've been looking at these things, tools of the trade, the things that help us in our spiritual walk. And like I said, we looked at spiritual reflex, how to respond in the situation. When God calls you to do something, we move immediately and with purpose. And last week we looked at spiritual endurance. After we decide to react with that spiritual reflex, sometimes things are going to get difficult. Sometimes things are going to be hard. In our Christian life, we experience things that, quite honestly, a lot of people couldn't endure if they didn't have Christ. We see a world that is hurting, and they have no clue how to deal with things, but we have the endurance of the Holy Spirit in our life that helps us get through those times of need. When things are extremely hard and difficult, and we find it throughout all ages, the needs change, the circumstances change, the trials and tribulations change, but God's Spirit is always the same, and we're able to endure. And this week, I want to look at discernment, spiritual discernment. God gives us an ability to choose the things in our lives that we need to choose. He gives us a way to stand back from a situation and realize what is the right decision, not only for my life, but for those around me and for what God is trying to do. It's an art that is lost, to be honest with you. We get stuck in an age where we look around and we see what our neighbors are doing, or we see what our family members are doing, and we start making decisions based on outward experience. And we forget about the experience that we have in Christ Jesus, or the experience that the Holy Spirit has indwelled in us. And our discernment and our decision making and the choices that we make become skewed to a human rationality. And we know with that human rationality becomes, there comes error. We have problems. If I could tally up all the times that I've made decisions for myself, it'd be a big tally mark of a bunch of mistakes. A ton of mistakes. When I make decisions based on just what I want, things get difficult. Things get hard. And I sit back and I look at it and I say, man, God, how did I get myself in this situation? And then it dwells on me. Oh, because I was worried about me and what I want. But the fact of the matter is, this morning, if you can claim Christ as your Savior, we have a discernment. We have an ability to make decisions that can not only better our lives, but we can do great things. And God can show us some awesome, amazing things in our lives. We can sit back and say, you know what? I'm glad I didn't do that because it would have turned out horrible. There's some of the things I tell Rachel all the time. It's like, man, I'm glad God intervenes because I would have just ruined this for everybody. And that's what happens. And it goes all the way from the youngest all the way to the oldest. There's no exception to the rule for high schoolers, for college students, for young parents, for older parents, all the way up to grandparents. The gift of discernment that God gives us is an amazing tool. Absolutely amazing. It gives us a view of what God wants in our lives. The first thing I want to look at this morning, this is an ability that does not come from man. You know, I have a lot of things that my father passed down to me. When I was skinnier, you could tell that my ears are a lot bigger than they look now. My head has kind of grown into my ears a little bit. But genetically, I have got that from my father. I get my tall genes. You guys have met my mom. I don't get my tall genes from my mom. My mom is about not that high. That's kind of, she's like that. My mom's probably right about here to me. I mean, just enough when I give her a hug, poor lady's right in my armpits. I feel bad for her. Genetically, my dad passed down the tall genes. I have brown eyes because my dad had brown eyes. Spiritual discernment is not something that's just gifted. Because my dad was able to make decisions in the spirit or decisions that would better a family doesn't mean that I'm going to get that gift. This is an ability that is not of man. In verse 6, let's look at that for a second. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. We can know all the great people in the world, guys. We can know the Bill Gates or the Steve Jobs or the former presidents, whatever it is, and we can ask them and we could glean from them experience and insight and knowledge, but it still doesn't come to the fact that it's wisdom and discernment. There are a lot of things my dad did teach me, and a lot of truths that do matter. You do the crime, you do the time. And I could sit back and realize I could weigh a decision whether I should do something or not. And when I decided to do the wrong thing, I knew that the punishment was going to fit the crime. That's what my dad taught me. That's not the kind of wisdom we're talking about here. Even though I could get a lot of things from my mom, my mom is an amazing, amazing woman of God. And I can sit back and see how faith can rule in a situation when it's just absolutely dire. And my mom could tell me how to endure the fact when you lose a loved one or somebody you've been married to for so long, she could sit back and tell me what faith does in that kind of situation. And I could write that down and put it in a book and file it for some other day if I ever need that. I can learn those things. But the fact is, the choice, the wisdom that comes from God, we can't get from our parents. We can't get from our brothers or sisters or anybody else. It's not of man. At the end of the verse, it says, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age. Doesn't matter what kind of time. Just because people back in the day knew Solomon, the wisest person, he prayed for discernment. How to lead his people the right way. And you know what? God gave him that. Not only that, because he asked for discernment, this has to be important. God gave him all the riches and the glory that comes with being a king. A far above and beyond discernment. He was a wealthy king, and God said, because you ask of discernment, because you ask how to live your life, how I want you to live it, I'm not only going to give you that, I am going to bless you. So we have to know that this is an important gift. This is a tool that God gives us to live our life in such a way that, man, we can stand victorious through any situation, even the hard ones, even the difficult ones. And we go through joys and concerns in the morning, and sometimes it seems like some of the people we pray for just go through difficult times. But even in those situations, we can pray for discernment, how to treat it. God, we've been looking at this for weeks now, Lord, and I'm just getting discouraged because I figure you would have answered the prayer, you would have healed this person, and then enter discernment. How are you going to respond? What are you going to ask for next? Strength to continue in prayer for that person. Strength to know that God has a clue what he's doing, and you're going to trust him in that. Discernment comes in everywhere, from praying for somebody else to making life-altering decisions. Come when it comes to raising kids, when it comes to jobs, when to start one, when to leave one, when to whatever it is. Discernment infiltrates every part of our lives. But it doesn't matter who it is. We can't get this from any ruler, any person that's ever lived. And the very end of 6, it says, who are passing away. That's important. Because no matter how smart and wise we are in ourselves, we die. Our human wisdom comes to an end, believe it or not. As smart as I am, or I'm not, my wisdom will cease one day. Or my lack of wisdom will cease one day. There's people out there that have forgotten more than I'll ever know, but my wisdom will cease. When I sit back and I look at a situation, it says, man, how should Adam deal with this situation? And I could pick, I mean, it could pick something that to the rest of the world looks absolutely wonderful. That kind of wisdom will cease. I will stop thinking as a logical man. It's an ability. This discernment is not an ability we can just get from anywhere. And I'm glad we don't get it from anybody else because, like we just saw, it passes away. Kings of old, I mean, people today, I was going to say politicians, but I don't think anybody wants to be like politicians. No offense to any politicians in here. Shoot myself in the foot on that one. No, but we look at it, we tend to look to people for our decision making. Why? Any kind of logic that comes with human will pass away. If I had an ability, I want to tap into an ability that's not going to pass away, that's not going to change from one person to the next. Something that has a track record of working every time, anytime. So it's an ability we don't grab from anybody else. This is an ability that comes strictly from God, strictly from the Holy Spirit. The second thing I kind of want to look at, the ability that has to be experienced. I could sit up here and tell you all day long about the discernment power of Christ, and you won't grasp it totally until you experience it for yourself. It's kind of like we used to go to Cedar Point as kids and growing up in the youth group. Anybody know what Cedar Point is? It's like the roller coaster mecca of the world. It's awesome. It's great. It's perfect to take any youth group to, or any big child or somebody who doesn't want to grow up. Yeah. I haven't been in 10 years, so I must have been grown up for the past 10 years. But anyways, and I could tell people back in the day it was the Magnum XL, was the fastest, most intense roller coaster of its day. And I remember when I went for the first time, I had a friend that had been there before. He goes, oh, it's not that bad. I'm like, I get up there, I look at it, you know. From the ground level, heights aren't intimidating to me at all. I'm like, that's not bad. I remember we got in the cart and it starts click, 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 click. And the old ones, man, I mean, it just feels like every time you shift, it's like this thing feels like it's broken. And so you're going up, and as much as my friend tried to tell me kind of what it was going to be about, by the time you got up to the top, I'm thinking, stop the ride, pull it over. But it's just somebody can hear me from the very top. I'm like, knock it off, and my friend's like, woohoo! And I'm like, argh! And man, that first hill comes, but as much as he wanted to explain it to me, I couldn't grasp it. I had to experience that ride for myself. I had to experience it. And when everything was said and done, it may be scary at first, but when everything was said and done, oh man, we got straight back in line for another 2-hour wait. Yeah, tell me that's wisdom. But it's something you have to experience. And I can tell you, we can look at this all day long. We can read these things. Let's start at verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The idea here is a mystery. If I wanted to explain it to you, I can't fully explain it to you because it's a mystery. Only you can experience through God and the Holy Spirit. I can tell you all the fine points. I can tell you all the wonderful things that come with it. But until you truly experience it, oh man, it's amazing. To know that God directs you through a situation when you decide to use the discernment, God, what do you want in my life? And by the time you're all done with it and you realize you chose what God wanted, God's will in your life was accomplished, it's an amazing feeling. Absolutely amazing. That good, that well done, good and faithful servant kind of takes over your body. Not that you want to pat yourself in the back, but you know you just feel better. But it's a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The good news about this gift, guys, is God knew we were going to need it. From the very, very beginning, God knew that we were going to need a sermon in our lives to make right choices. He knew that. And from the very beginning, He implemented a tool that we could grab a hold of so we could live a better life. I mean, how awesome is that of God that He knows back when that my own wisdom, my human experience, it wouldn't be enough. And He says, you know what, I'm going to predestine something for you before you even realize you needed it. Before you're even born, I know that Adam's going to need my discernment, my ability, or the ability to choose what's right in his life through the Holy Spirit and ultimately come out with the goal of God on Adam's life. Absolutely amazing. That just blows my mind. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age have understood. Once again, we kind of get back to it. Unless you guys experience for yourself, you're not going to understand it. For if they have understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's certain things, guys, we do in our lives, people. We do things in our life. We make decisions. And do you realize the decisions that we make fall ultimately back on Christ? When you are a Christian, a decision you make impacts Christ. As I'm a dad and my kids make certain decisions, my emotions are toyed with as my kids make their decisions. And if they choose to do something good and proud, I'm happy. I feel good as a parent. But when they decide to do something wrong, I feel a little bit of, man, that doesn't make me feel too good. Those that are parents, all the kids and the kids that we had have made decisions that you look back and it makes you feel bad, doesn't it, parents? And sometimes you sit back and say, man, that just hurts. And then you have to implement discipline or whatever else or love in the appropriate areas and you have to deal with that situation. It's no different with us in Christ. When we make decisions in our life, every decision reverts back to how it makes God and Christ feel. If God calls me to do something and God tells me, I want you to minister to this person this way, and I sit back and I say, no, I can't do it. I don't even like them. For if they understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If I knew that my decisions I make directly impact Christ, I'm going to be very more careful on how I make my decisions. These people didn't understand spiritual discernment. And what did that lead to? It led to Christ's crucifixion. How would you like to be labeled with that one? Well, technically we are, because we're fallen, we're sinful. The decisions we make fall directly back to Christ. And it doesn't stop there. It floods over to our spouses and our kids and our parents. It goes back to everybody. So when I decide to make a decision based on what Adam thinks, or man, this looks right, I mean, the numbers punch out, the list of pros and cons are good, and I decide to go this way, but God keeps saying, no, I want you this way, but God, this way makes sense. And he says, I'm not a logical God. And I says, but I'm a logical person. Stop. When you start saying, I'm logical, I decide this, you're wrong. Sometimes God will go with our lot, and sometimes God agrees with us, and we just choose, I mean, certain areas I would like to go, God has said, you know what, I agree with that, go ahead and go that way. But when I think it's Adam, I need to stop and say, you know what, as much as I'd love to go this way, God calls me to go this way. And if I choose to go that way, honor and glory will be given to God, but if I don't, it's just as if I'm making the same decision to crucify him. It's going to result back to Christ. That's why we're Christians. That's why we sign our life away at salvation. But the good thing is, God gives us great things. He gives us tools to accomplish when he calls us to be a Christian. All right? So it has to be experienced. Go on. But the things, as it is written, things which eye have not seen, nor ear have heard, and which have not entered the hearts of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. It doesn't matter what's in my heart. It's never going to be complete unless I meet the things that God's prepared for me at the beginning. Remember, at the very beginning of the earth, I mean, before I was even created, he knew what I need. All that God has prepared for him, for those that love him. If I love God and I accept him as my Savior, he's going to equip me with this. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. How many of you guys want to make a decision in here that has nothing to do with you, anybody you love, or at all? I mean, do we ever make decisions that don't affect us? Sometimes we do. But ultimately, most of the decisions we decide to make, affect us in some way. I'm not going to worry whether or not, you know, what John Bob does with this Thursday night. It doesn't affect me. I'm not going to say, John Bob, you need to go to the grocery store Thursday night. That's just what you need to do. That's not a decision for me to make. That's not, I mean, for the things revealed to them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The amazing thing about the Spirit and the power of discernment, it knows exactly what I need to make in my life. It knows the heart of God, and it knows the heart of Adam. And when I have to make those decisions, those are the things I need to know. I don't need to know the heart of John Bob or the heart of Don. I don't need to know those things to make my decisions. But sometimes we make those, you know, we look at other people and we let other people be like, oh, you know, they did this, so I'm going to do that. And sometimes outward people become our decision making. But the only thing we need is what God gets us with. He knows the hearts of all things, even the depths of God. Man, I'd much rather tap into something that knows everything than make decisions on poor, educated guesses by myself. I don't know the heart of God, except for what the Spirit puts on me and what God's Word shows me. And if I'm not in His Word, and if I'm not relying on the Holy Spirit, guess what? I'm not going to know the heart of God. I don't care how upstanding your church family was, how much you were raised in church as a person. If you're not in this book, if you're not constantly praying and spending time with God, you're going to lose contact with Him. You know, if I want my marriage to go well, I constantly have to communicate with my wife. If I want to make the right decisions on how to be a husband, I need to know the needs of my wife. What she thinks, what she doesn't think. This is the same thing with God. If we're going to live a life that's honoring, we have to know the heart of God. And how do we know it if we stay absent from His Word with our communication with Him? We can't. We have to experience God. We have to experience the Holy Spirit if we ever want to use discernment in our lives to better it the proper way. The third thing is the ability to know and to change. The ability to know and choose things of God. Starting in verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by man, wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The ability to know and choose the things of God comes with the direct contact of having spiritual discernment. Just like I said, we need to experience it. First, it's not a gift from any, you know, it's not a gift from my dad. It's not a gift from, you know, a deacon way back when or my youth pastor. It's a gift strictly from God. That kind of discernment only comes from Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then it's not something I can just tell you about and sound like, oh man, that sounds nice. We have to experience it. And once we experience it, it's an area that we have the ability to know and choose what's right. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Verse 12, I'm sorry. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. The easiest way to know what to choose is to know what God's given us. That's the easiest way. The times I'm most confused in my life is when I sit back, I'm not communicating, I'm not dialed into God, and I'm trying to make a decision. I don't know what God wants for my life. But with this ability of discernment, God gives us a way to know what things to choose so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. The easiest decision to make is the one we know God wants. Sometimes the hardest, where we struggle, we just don't know. We talk about it on Wednesday night sometimes, and it's like, you know, Craig made, how do you know something's from Satan that's trying to scourge you, or something's from God. Because on one hand, God, you know, you choose this, Satan keeps you from your objective and living as a Christian. But on this side, is this really what God's calling me to, or is this Satan trying to keep me away from what I'm supposed to be doing? And man, we struggle. It's like, how do you know that? And that's something we talked about Wednesday. But you know, it sticks with continually living in God's Word. Having people surround you. Get rid of those people that are fools, that don't know God. The ones we call our core group. Get away from them because they just mess us up when it comes to decision making. Get rid of them. Get in God's Word and start praying. And I guarantee you, the things that are freely given by God will become clear. We do what we're supposed to. And sometimes we have to be still, and we have to wait, and we have to listen. And sometimes God comes, you know, just in a whisper, just in a gentle wind. Sometimes he doesn't come in our life with a bullhorn and tell us, go this way or go that way. Sometimes it's just a little tiny nudge, and you're like, are you sure, God? Is that you? But when we're constantly living, it's easy to know. We have the ability to know and choose the things of God if we're living. Verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. When we make decisions based on ourselves, and I don't mean to get to this part. I'm not calling you names. I'm just saying what the Word says. When we choose things that are not of God, we become fools. We know if somebody doesn't have this kind of discernment, they're called, it's foolishness. I mean, for they are foolishness to him. People that don't know about God's discernment, they're lost. They have no clue what we're talking about here. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. You know, spiritual understanding in our life is an awesome tool. When we understand the things of the Spirit, the things of God, when he calls us to do a specific thing, we understand that's what we need to do. We all have that area in our life. We all have those areas we neglect. We haven't been looking at. When we have those areas, we know what they are. You know, was it, I was born at night, but not last night. I mean, we're not ignorant to what God calls us to do. You guys are sitting in church for a reason. I'm standing up here for a reason. God has worked and put the people in my life with influence for a reason. It's not coincidence. I don't have to choose to be foolish. I can. But God has given me every opportunity in life to show me how to use spiritual discernment in every situation, from finances to family to friends to church to ministry to fill in the blank. And he does the same for you too. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. I hope we're not playing that part this morning. We understand what God wants in our lives. Let's not play the fool. It does us no good. It does our families no good. And we go back all the way to the beginning, it affects Christ. And we sit there and say, you know what, Christ, I'm a very grateful, you know, we sometimes tease. My youth pastor used to tease me every now and then. I said I couldn't make church. Be like, that's all right. If you can make church, Christ just went to the cross for you. It's like, come on, why you got to pull that? And we played down the fact that it's a serious thing Christ did, and our decisions affect Christ. Somebody who decided to die for our sins on a cross. And if it was just me in this world, he would have done it for just me. If it was just you, who did it for just you. But sometimes we sit back and say, you know what? Adam knows best. Or I know best, and I'm going to choose this one. And here is a Christ that has, you know, risen from the grave, died for our sins, and saying, why do you choose what you want? And then we sit there and been like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to feel bad. And so we just kind of file under don't deal with it. And that's where it stays. Those areas of our life that we know we have issues in. We know we have to do better, but we file under the areas of neglect or don't bother with it. I have a million and one other things to worry about. And we neglect certain things that God calls us to when he gives us discernment to deal with it. We know and we can choose the things that are of God, but we decide foolishness. Verse 15, but he who is spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him. But we will have the mind of Christ. Two minds you have this morning. Make two decisions. The mind of Adam or the mind of Christ. And without the Holy Spirit, without salvation, without Christ living in me, I do not have the ability to have the mind of Christ in me. I don't have it. Now I have the mind of Adam all the time. And unfortunately, I battle with it just like everybody else. And I make decisions for myself sometimes, and I realize, you know what? That wasn't right. And I should have just chose Christ and had the same mind that was in Christ. You know, we know that it's an ability that doesn't come from us. And at the very, very end, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. So we know where this discernment comes from. We know when we face a situation, we know ultimately we have to choose for ourselves or for Christ. Then, the next thing is we have to experience it. I could tell you all day long about what making spiritually discernment choices in your life, the things of God, the free choice, the things that God brings about. I could tell you, you know what? You choose the things of God, things are going to be awesome. You'll understand a little bit. But until you experience it in your life, there's not much more I can do for you. God gifted this for you. He didn't gift it to me to give to you. He gives it to every believer. Once we get to that, we know how to discern and choose the things of God. But here we are now, sitting in church on a Sunday morning, you know, because that's what we do on Sunday morning, right? We come to church. We're sitting in church on Sunday morning. We're hearing about discernment and about the things that God makes known to us through His Holy Spirit. And we say, okay, I know in my life I have choices I need to make. I have problem areas I've dealt with for years. And I know every time I choose, and we know, then we get in bad habits. We're like gluttons for punishment. We'll keep choosing our way. And we realize, man, I know God wants me to go, but it's just easier this way, and we keep choosing it. So here we are, sitting in church on a Sunday morning, and we know exactly what God wants us to do. He gives us His Word. And if you don't know what God wants in your life, pray, read His Word, and seek godly wisdom. Ask somebody who you know is making choices for God. And they'll help steer you in the right direction. Should you do this or shouldn't you do this? I know I have a list of people I call in my life when I struggle and I have difficult times. I have a list of three people I can call every time if I need to know, you know, if one of them's having a bad day, an off day, and they want to side with, you know, my knowledge and wisdom. I have two other people that are pretty good. So if you don't know what decision to make, surround yourself with those people. You don't want to be surrounded by fools when making a decision. Back to the statement, here we are on a Sunday morning. Once again, we know the areas in our life. We know God's gifted us with discernment at salvation. One, if you have not been saved this morning, I hope you make that decision. To have this life, is making decisions is so much easier when you have God showing you what you need to do. Cause a lot of headaches. Is it easy? No. Is it better? A lot. A lot better. Like I said, I don't know where I'd be if I had to deal with certain things without Christ. Moving on. And if you do have salvation, you've gifted, you have the ability of spiritual discernment. You know what to choose in your life. Are you going to be the verse 14? But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. That's just without understanding. That's spiritually appraised without understanding. Are you going to be the one that makes your decisions based on non-spiritual understanding? You have the ability. Or are you going to be the 16? For those who have known the mind of the Lord, that He will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. What are your decisions this morning? Is it in foolishness and without understanding what God wants? Or is it with the mind of Christ? I know I need to accept Christ as my Savior, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it. It's not the mind of Christ. God doesn't gift us choosing the difficult way or choosing the wrong way. God wants us to choose the right way. Oh, you know I have this habit and I need to stop, or I've been treating this person this way and I need to stop. I know God wants me to, but I just can't help it. I don't like them. What are you going to do? Is it the mind of Christ? Or are you going to choose to foolishness? One or the other. Sometimes it comes down to a harsh reality, but the fact is, it's up to you. The harsh reality, it's on you. I could sit up here and preach for another 30 minutes, which I'm not going to do, And I could keep hammering this home and home and home. Hopefully, somebody changes before they leave the door this morning because they're not ignorant anymore because we have the Word. But the fact is, it falls on you. Our decisions fall on us. And when God calls you to do something, you know, we can opt out of it, be like, well, God, if you would have just gave me more influential friends, or God, if you would have just given me a desire to read my Bible more, or we could fill in the blank and we could pass the buck all day long. But the fact is, it falls on us. God has gifted us with discernment. When it comes to salvation, He's gifted you with the choice to make the choice of Christ or not. And once we're saved, He gifts you with the ability of choosing the things that are freely from God. What is it this morning? What area? And I say it all the time, and maybe it's beating a dead horse here, but what's, if nothing else, pick one area. One thing you know you need to stop and choose the things of Christ and use the discernment that God gave you instead of the foolishness of your own mind. I have areas in me too. And those that know me, you're like, yes, you do. What is it this morning? Is it going to be just another Sunday where we sit in the pews and we leave out the doors and it's good, we'll go to lunch and be done? Or is it going to be another morning we decide, you know what, enough is enough. I know God calls me to do something, so I'm going to do it. Like I said, I get all riled up for the next 30 minutes. But we have God's Word. The verdict is in. We know we're supposed to pick the things of God. What this morning do you need to choose for God instead of yourself? If nothing else, pick one thing. Work on that, then go to the next, then the next. I realize perfection doesn't ever come to us. And I realize the Christian life is a constant battle. It's one victory over the next. And sometimes we have defeats, but it's getting back up and doing it again and again and again. What areas do you need to implement your spiritual discernment to be a better Christian? Because God's calling you, husbands. God's calling you, wives. Kids. To pick the things that are from Him to benefit not only your life, but those around you. And your decisions directly impact Christ, believe it or not. He won't change, but it directly goes back to Christ for what He did for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. God, we could look at this all day long, but the fact of the matter is, Lord, You've gifted us with this ability to have discernment. The very same discernment that the wisest person in the Old Testament had, the very same discernment that Solomon used to lead a nation. God, we have the same exact ability through the blood of Your Son, through the sacrifice which You gave. God, I pray for everybody here this morning that they will have discernment in their lives, that they'll choose to implement what You're calling them to do. And when things get hard and difficult, God, I pray that You'll press on in their life even more. Show Yourself in such a way they know which way to turn, which way to go. And God, if they ever question it, I pray that they'll surround themselves with Your Word, prayer, and seek other people that are godly. This morning as we sing a song, God, we offer our lives constantly as an invitation. I hope that's our prayer. God, there's an area You're calling with us to change, to discern what's right and what's wrong. And I pray that whatever is standing in the way of these people this morning, God, that You move that aside. Give them the boldness and the strength through Your Son to make a decision that will better their lives. We thank You for what You do. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to always come before You, that You accept us how we are, that we don't have to wait for tomorrow, wait till something's right in our lives to get right with You. You accept us in the moment. The second our repentance is genuine, Your forgiveness is real. And as we sing, Lord, if there's business we have to conclude in our lives, I pray that we'll do that. If there's somebody in here that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray they'll come talk to me and we can lead them. Or somebody, and we can show them from Your Word how they can become a child of God. Not to be part of an exclusive club, but to have a better life in You. And Lord, for the Christian this morning, if they need strength, God, if they can't make the decision on their own, they need accountability, I pray that You'll put it on their heart to ask somebody to help them. They'll come up and they'll conclude any business with You this morning. Be with us as we sing. Continue working on our hearts and our minds as Don leads us in worship. Let us realize it is worship. It's not just a song.